Our first presenter is Dr. Navsiger. Emerson is working with the University of Illinois, and I'll invite him up to the stand, please. So, Emerson.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Good morning. Well, glad to be here this morning. This is going to be a little bit different for me. This is a presentation that's kind of a work in progress, and it's to make you think. So I know it's early in the morning, and for some of you that may not be really possible, but we'll see what we can do. By background, there are current marketing efforts aimed at promoting late applied nitrogen, and all of you have been hearing about this and spoon feeding and this sort of thing, and adjusting the rates based on anticipated crop need. This has a lot to do with site specific and all of these kinds of things, but we're going to keep it pretty simple today. The approach is to measure or model soil nitrogen and to model projected crop need for the rest of the season in order to anticipate, you know, how much nitrogen or tell us how much to put on. There's some real problems with that system, and one is that when we put nitrogen on, we really don't have a clear idea when the crop's going to get access to it or how much it'll get access to. So the drivers, of course, include the urge to make sure the crop doesn't run out of nitrogen, and there's been an awfully loud drumbeat of that in recent years by or after pollination, along with high clearance equipment and the sales of those. That's become all the rage, and all of you have heard about, you know, John Deere owns Hagee, and now there's Y-drop tubes and this sort of thing. Well, this isn't a really new idea. The pre-sidedress nitrogen test originated by Magdoff in the Northeast and adapted by Blackmer was the early example of this, and it was simply at sidedress time you'd measure the nitrogen in the top foot and adjust sidedress rates based on that. I can pretty much tell you what sidedress rate, what the soil tests are going to be if you haven't used any. So I don't know exactly. This was a lot of use with manure and alfalfa plow down and that sort of thing. But then there was a sliding scale, and above 25 parts per million, you don't need to put any more on. That didn't prove to really work in practice particularly well, just due to the time constraints of trying to get sidedress done by the time it started to rain tomorrow. Recently, commercial products like Encirca and ClimateCorp, AdaptN, there's a number of these, and others trying to use imagery and so on to bring in more, are using models to our current soil nitrogen measurements, mostly models because that's a way lot easier, on prior application, weather, soil, and so on. These are pretty sophisticated. I think they're reasonable efforts, and they make a projection of how much nitrogen you should put on today. Most of these, I'll just point out in passing, are driven by expected yield, which with our MRTN approach to nitrogen that we're using now, expected yield is not part of the equation to tell us what the real need is. All of you have seen these. I just took some screenshots out of Field View. This one says it's hard to read, but it says that pollination, or at the end of the season of black layer, there will be 13 pounds of nitrogen per acre left. And I don't know how scared you're supposed to be if you're the farmer seeing that. But they project, as you can see here, with nice error fringe around it, you know, what the soil nitrogen is going to do over the rest of the season. So that gives a lot of confidence. We've seen them tell us after a rainfall in January that this down about half the nitrogen was lost, and it wasn't. So they probably tend to be a little bit on the alarming side. Here's one from Encirca that I just took down, and I just put a box around that. It says current chance of success at tassel is 62%. Boy, if I was a farmer, I'd be pretty worried, you know. That doesn't say success with this crop. It says success in life. It's going to be 62%. The one that's gotten our attention in Illinois, because it's an Illinois company, Yield 360, is the soil scan, which is an end gate, a truck mounted black box, literally. And you put it, you make a, it does a on the go side of the field nitrogen or nitrate test of a slurry. And it tells you there, I didn't give you the close-up of that, but it says what the uptake is of the crop, and then it says how much nitrogen, you know, you're going to need, and then you subtract how much you found, and it's in the top foot as well, and it's nitrate only. And, you know, I think a lot of people that bought these are not inexpensive. Probably if they're going to go out and use the Y-drop tubes anyway, why bother? So I think those things have become sort of fence row equipment a little bit. Expensive fence row equipment, but hey. The objective today is to measure soil, to give you information on soil nitrogen levels at different stages. So that's where this all started with, during corn vegetative growth and then corn yields. And we're trying to see if minimum levels of soil nitrogen for different growth stages can be established. It's a pretty ambitious thing, and we really didn't start out to do this. But over time, you know, we were interested, and I'll show you how we did this. There's two, by the way, just to remind you, soil plants do take up nitrogen. And this was one, I'm going to flip-flop between units today, but you'll all understand. But this was, you know, at V5, we had about 10 pounds of nitrogen in the crop and 200 pounds of nitrogen, and that's nitrate plus ammonium. We're always measuring both, but I'll talk mostly about nitrate today because that's what people are measuring. And by the 12th or June 23rd, or V12, we had 87 pounds in the crop and 172 in the soil. And by VT, we had 191. This is averaged over three sites in 2016, and 117 parts or pounds per acre in the soil, in the top 2 feet of soil. And I just put the ppm of nitrate there to let you know. So this was our uptake. You know, we were taking up a lot of nitrogen over that period. The other thing that you can note on this is that the total nitrogen, soil and crop, that we measured actually increased, and it increased from about 200 pounds per acre to over 300 pounds per acre during that period. The nitrogen supply of the soil messes everything up. And that's going to be the theme for this morning. Two experimental approaches here to looking at this. One was to apply 200 pounds of nitrogen to corn at different times and forms with soil nitrogen sampling during vegetative stages through tasseling. So we've been doing that the last 3 years. Second one is nitrogen rate supplies with soil nitrogen samples taken several times during, nitrogen rate studies. So there's two ways that we're varying this amount of nitrogen, and I think there's important differences between the two. So in these, we simply had rates, and we started with one study, and we've added a couple more. This, we don't have nearly as much of a base. We're number two there, but we will. I'll show you what we found. We're taking soil samples in the top foot and the second foot with a 3-inch template, so we can make sure to pick it up out of the band. And we're measuring both nitrate and ammonium and yields. In some cases here, I'll just warn you, we did a quadratic plateau function fit it to the soil nitrogen levels, not to, you know, nitrogen rates necessarily, and you'll see that when we get there, to basically find out where's the nitrogen amount in the soil giving the best yield for different stages. This isn't part of what I'm talking about, but this will let you know that we successfully did vary the amount of nitrogen there. So there's, my code is fall with and without N-serve. This is fall at 100 pounds, 50 at planting and 50 at side dress. This is spring with and without N-serve. And this is 50 at planting plus 150 at side dress. We'll come back to that one because it's sort of our sustainable application, no fall, no early spring, everything at planting and after. And then I put in a no nitrogen. One of the things you notice with this one is it doesn't get up to these lofty heights here. And the reason it doesn't, well, we don't measure it often enough, but we weren't putting this nitrogen on until about this point in time. So you don't expect them to be high. My guess is it probably spiked up here and then it came back down, but we didn't see it in the measurement. By the time we get to the end of our 1st of June, most of this nitrogen is nitrate. And so I'm just letting you know that why I'm talking about nitrate is it kind of works once you get to this point in the season. These are the spring applications. And the only way we've found to actually have higher ammonium and lower nitrate during the month of May is to put on anhydrous in the spring. And that's no big shock. But this is the one that worries everybody. These are fall applied nitrogen, and you can see it's mostly nitrate by the time you get to the spring, to a planting time. And that's been pretty consistently we've found that. I will add that it doesn't hurt yields most of the time either. And we've had some high rainfall during May, and it still yields pretty well. So this is nitrate from those same numbers I was showing you. This is nitrate in the top 2 feet in parts per million. So that's what I'm going to use this morning for our measure. These aren't particularly high numbers. You know, I've heard seen consultants say you need 20 parts per million, you know, in the top 2 feet for the whole season. That would be a deal. Take about 500 pounds of nitrogen. And the other feature of this that I'll point out is that as we go through the month of June to up to pollination time, which for us is second week or so of July, these nitrogen, soil nitrate amounts plunge. And they should. If the crop is taking it up, that's what it's there for. This was 2016. In 2017, we had pretty high rainfall in early May, and you can see here that these levels are quite different, actually. And then it was fairly dry in June, including some really dry periods this year, and we ended up with generally higher numbers back here and less difference. So this technique is a way to get different amounts of nitrate during, let's say, the month of June is our month of interest, is fairly effective. Now, I'm going to show you a series of these real quickly because I put in pretty much all of them that I had up to now. Where I put this box in, it says 56, that's kilograms per hectare at planting, and 168 at side dress. In other words, 50 plus 150. Where I put this box in, that means that I'm showing you at the different times, I'm showing you the soil nitrate at those times. So I've got an arrow to each one. And this is V5, V10, and VT. These are about the time periods we're talking about. And when I put this box in, it means that these had significantly lower yields than our best treatment. And it's a little shocking to see how often that happened. This would be considered a sound, you know, this is a very R of the 4 R's. You know, it's the right everything. And it has not performed particularly well for us. So the others, so I'm going to show you a series of these, and they're all going to look pretty similar. And what I'm really showing you is that, you know, the early ones are higher, which makes us feel good. The middle ones tend to be moved back 10 or 15, 10 parts per million, maybe 5 to 10. And the ones at tassel time tend to get moved way back then, and by tassel time it's rare to find these things above 10 parts per million, and 5 is not out of the picture. So all of them are going to look that pretty much like that. I put this one in these were on farm sites or on research center sites, and we had a research center site in 2016 that had way high nitrogen. It never got low. So you can see it there. I put circles around it. This is what it was, you know, so much higher, but it yielded less, considerably less. Having all the nitrogen there didn't help its yield completely. So there's another one that's an on-farm site. The same thing where I have the box there. That treatment yielded significantly less. There's another site on-farm where it didn't, but you can see we don't have, you know, there's really no effect of timing on yield. There is another site on farm in 2017, and there's one. My time's running out, so I got to finish this up. By early June, soil nitrate ranged more widely by field or year than by nitrogen form and timing, but it generally did have a range. 20 to 30 parts per million in drier areas, 10 to 20 in wetter areas, wetter places. And mid-June crop uptake, I won't pause on the verbiage there much. My bottom line is the value of soil nitrogen as an application guide, there wasn't any. Now let's move on to the rate part of this, and this will be even quicker. So we do get a nice response of nitrogen rate to how much nitrate is there, which is always comforting. There's the crop uptake. There's the nitrogen response curve from this study. Here's the same old formulation that I showed you earlier. And you can see how much the nitrate, and now with each rate, I'm able to put those curves on there. And in this case, that optimum didn't change very much, how much nitrate we needed that was associated with the maximum yield. Yeah, you're going to help. Here's another study. This is a three-year average, and there's the numbers from that. So that one looks very different, and I don't know why, but this was 3 years, and we did use ammonium nitrate for this study, which might have had an effect. But this is, I'm near the end. Nitrogen rate does effectively spread the range of soil nitrate. Soil nitrogen sufficiency levels tend to decrease over the period of vegetative growth, which we would expect, but absolute levels for different growth stages are not consistent at all. Guideline nitrogen rates based on soil nitrogen remain elusive. And that's sort of the end. So far, it's not very encouraging. Crop need, nitrogen mineralization, and access of roots to nitrogen vary greatly with the weather. And high yield conditions tend to increase the soil supply of nitrogen. It's becoming clear that N losses associated with wet weather are less permanent than we have thought. The strategy of delayed application brings substantial costs and risks. And it may be more important, and this is from those boxes I was showing you, how much nitrogen is available in the soil as the nodal roots start to develop back at V3 to V6 than it is how much is there towards the end of vegetative growth. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.